Well, good morning, everyone. Do please keep that passage in front of you, whether it's in the Bibles on page 1078 or in these handouts as well. And let me thank Kate for being so open with us. Kate, you are our sister. As a church, we're very proud of you, and we're grateful for you sharing so openly this morning. What Kate has been sharing is sadly familiar to many of us today. And it raises an issue we generally don't like talking about. It's funny, we live in a culture that prides itself on not really having any taboos, and yet we go to surprising lengths to avoid talking about death. We have a whole range of euphemisms so that we don't have to mention it directly. We talk about someone having passed away, or having moved on, or not being any longer with us. And the reason we don't like to talk about it, I suspect, is that we're very uncomfortable thinking about it. Death can seem so uncertain. Shakespeare famously described it as the undiscovered country from which no traveller ever returns. And when we feel like we don't know what happens, we might then think, well, we can't know what happens, and if that's the case, it's just better not to think about it. Death can seem so final. One journalist wrote, "I'm terrified of death. 100 years after my death, no one will really know who I was." And then he posed the question, "Do you even know your great-grandparents' names?" Death yet is inevitable. Sigmund Freud once wrote, "No one really believes in his own death." Benjamin Franklin said, "There are only two things that are certain, death and taxes." And however hard we try to delay it or avoid it, it comes to us all. And so because it's something we don't tend to talk about, it's very easy to go through life with all sorts of questions about death bottled up inside us. And you'll see from this handout just a sample of some of the questions people have been asking us about death as we've done this survey. And we're obviously not going to be able to cover all of these this morning, but they give you a flavour of the kinds of questions many of us have. What happens after we die? What's heaven like? Is my grandma okay? When will I die? But the biggest theme that emerged in all of these questions is the one that we're considering this morning. Is death the end? And our aim is to look briefly at a passage from the Bible where Jesus deals with this very issue. It's an episode from the life of Jesus recorded by his follower John in his gospel. And the setting, as you'll have picked up from the reading, is that Jesus' good friend Lazarus has died. Jesus had found out earlier that Lazarus had been very seriously ill, but had waited, and Jesus now arrives after Lazarus has already been dead for a few days. And he's met by Lazarus's two sisters, Martha and Mary, both of whom are also good friends of Jesus, and both of them respond to Jesus in exactly the same way. Martha is the first to meet him in verse 21, and she says to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." A little bit later on, Mary encounters Jesus and says exactly the same thing in verse 32. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Both of them know that Jesus has amazing power to heal. Both of them know that Jesus could have got there earlier, before Lazarus had died. And so both of them know Jesus could have prevented Lazarus's death. And so when they say to him, if you had been here, our brother would not have died, the question implied is, why weren't you here? Why didn't you prevent it? This man they know so well, who is so good, who loves them so deeply, why did he let them experience these depths of grief? And that will be a question many of us have on our hearts this morning. If God is there, and if God is so good and loves us so deeply, why would he allow people close to us to die? And something of an answer is found in how Jesus responds to each of these sisters. So as we've seen, Martha gets to Jesus first. She says, if you had not been here, verse 21, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. You're too late to save Lazarus, but maybe God can still help in some way. Jesus responds with what to our ears is an astonishing claim. He said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha, this is not the end of Lazarus. He will rise again. And Martha answers in a way that, again, might be surprising to us. She says, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Martha is just giving voice to what most Jews at that time believed. The Old Testament taught that at the end of all of time, all the dead would be raised. And that would be when God would right every wrong in this world. That was the kind of standard Jewish belief. There would be a resurrection on the last day. And it reminds us that death in the Bible has never been the end. Throughout the Bible, there's always been a promise of life to come following death. And notice the promise is of physical life after death. Resurrection in the body in the Bible always means the body being raised to new life. And that is what Martha believes in. One day Lazarus, with everybody else, will be raised up from the dead. Now, I'm guessing that for many of us, if we have any kind of idea of the afterlife, the kind of idea we have is of people sort of floating around a bit like ghosts. Depending on where you kind of fall on the cultural spectrum, you may have that idea in your head from Renaissance art or from episodes of The Simpsons or Far Side cartoons. But it's what many people assume Christians mean when we talk about life after death. And it doesn't sound very appealing. There's a Far Side cartoon where someone is sitting on a cloud dressed in a nightie, and the caption is, I wish I'd brought a magazine or something. It just looks a bit strange. But the biblical idea of life after death is very different. It has always been about people being bodily raised. It has always been about God's people enjoying life in a physical world that has been remade and perfected. There's a lovely scene at the end of The Lord of the Rings where Samwise wakes up having been rescued, and he realizes the great wizard Gandalf is still alive. And he says to Gandalf, Gandalf, I thought you were dead. But then I thought I was dead. And then he asks him, is everything sad going to come untrue? And the whole Bible shows us that God's ultimate plan isn't to take us away from this world into some kind of cloud existence. No, God's ultimate plan is for this world to be made perfect and new, so that in this world, everything sad will come untrue. And that's the kind of hope Martha has as a believer. I know Lazarus will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. But that wasn't where Jesus was going when he said, your brother will rise again. And so Jesus follows up in verse 25 with the most remarkable claim. She says, I know Lazarus will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus says to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus says this whole resurrection thing, this whole people being physically raised again in a perfect world, he says, that's my department. You see, he's not just saying, yeah, I also believe in resurrection life. No, Jesus says, I am resurrection life. I'm where that life comes from. And he says it all comes through him. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. That's a bit confusing at first. You think, well, Jesus, am I going to die or am I not going to die? But what he's saying is, if we believe in him, we won't really die. We'll have the kind of life in him that even physical death can never take from us. And it's all to be found in him. Now, that is an amazing claim. That's a whopper of a claim. But it begs the question, can we trust it? And what happens next is Jesus comes to the second sister, Mary, shows us that Jesus can back up claims as big as that. So verse 32, Mary reaches Jesus. She says the same thing to him. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And it's not just Mary who's there now, but all the people who've been grieving with her. Jesus is right there in the epicenter of all this grief. And have a look at what happens next. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. It's very, very interesting. When Jesus comes into this massive context of bereavement, he's not all calm and professional. No, he's very deeply affected. Literally, it says he was angry. Jesus was angry at death. Angry at what death had done to these people. And in verse 35, he himself weeps. And friends, it shows us that the God Jesus reveals to us is not unaffected by our suffering. He's not removed from it. He's not above it all or aloof. No, Jesus responds to death with anger and with tears. He doesn't pitch up there and say to people, you know, well, you've got to get used to it. Death's part of the natural world we live in. No, Jesus is not at peace with death in his world. And that reminds us or shows us that death was never part of God's original agenda for us. It's an unwanted intruder. And actually, wherever we are with faith, Christian or otherwise, so many of us deep down know this to be true. We sense this. Yes, death is universal, but it always comes as a jolt. It doesn't feel natural and it doesn't feel right. And little wonder that as people made in the image of our God, we react to death with anger and with tears. Something very deep within us says it shouldn't be like this. And the Bible accounts for that. We were never designed for it. And yet what happens next shows what Jesus is able to do about it. Jesus goes to the grave. He has the stone taken away. And then in verse 43, again, he does something astonishing. Jesus calls out to this open grave now. He calls out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." And you can imagine that the crowds of mourners surrounding Jesus are just at this point thinking, what is this man doing? They must have been crushed just with embarrassment as Jesus starts bellowing into a grave. You can imagine some of them thinking, yeah, Jesus, you better speak in a loud voice because, I mean, if you spoke in a quiet voice, the dead wouldn't hear you, would they? It's just so bizarre. But Jesus' voice doesn't just reach into the tomb. Jesus' voice reaches into death itself. Verse 44, and Lazarus comes out. Old scholar who wrote on this text said Jesus had to specify Lazarus come out because if he hadn't, all the dead would have responded. No, verse 44, the dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen. You can just imagine him tripping over his own grave clothes. Is death the end? Jesus says, no. Jesus claims he is the one to dish out life that comes following death. And then he raises a dead person to demonstrate he really is the man with that power. Which leaves us with a challenge. Back to what Jesus said to Martha. In verse 25, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. And then he asks the question, do you believe this? This physical life beyond the grave, Jesus says, is for anyone who believes in him. He doesn't just mean people who believe that he existed and said stuff like this. People who believe in him. And it begs the question, do you believe this? Kate talked about Mark having to undergo a number of operations. When you meet with a surgeon before an operation. The surgeon will talk you through what they're planning to do and what it's going to involve and the various risks and benefits. And at the end of that conversation, you have to sign a form giving your consent. And when you sign that form, you're saying, I trust in the surgeon. You're not saying, I believe the surgeon exists. That he's really there, that they really are a surgeon. You are saying, I am going to entrust my life to this person. And that is what Jesus is asking us to do with him. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Do you believe him? Would you entrust your life, your death, your hope to this man? Well, you may well be new to all of this, and if this is the first you've heard about such things, we would encourage you to find out more. To find out enough about Jesus to be able to make that decision. Can you trust him? Our conviction is that he is the key to answering all the big questions we have in life. And we'd love to help you if you'd like to find out more about him. There's a course advertised on the back of the handout we'll be running next term. It's a bit like a book club for Mark's Gospel. Chance to kind of read through it, bat some questions around, and see what you think. If you've never done so before as a thinking adult, I'd encourage you, read one of the gospel accounts of Jesus for yourself. And there'll be some of us, I'm sure, this morning who do know enough. We do know who this man is and what he's about. And if we've not yet done so, we need to make a decision. Jesus is saying to you, do you believe this? And for many others of us, we do believe this and have done for many years. Well, if that's the case for us, may we live in a way that shows that Jesus is where our greatest trust lies. Jesus is our greatest hope, that the life in him is the real life.